Welcome to Enter the Crucible.
Welcome to episode 9 of Enter the Crucible.
The Drunkisode! Cheers.
Everybody's working really hard to make it the Drunkisode right now.
There's a lot of super glue and alcohol everywhere.
I'm Mayhew, one of your co-hosts. I'm joined today by...
Clint.
Carter.
Pirate Captain.
Adam.
Mike.
Troy.
Jeff.
And Kelly.
Mayhew. Clint.
And Kelly.
Carter. And Kelly.
Pirate Captain.
Stuart.
We're just going to keep going around
for an hour.
All right. So last week we had a matchup between Testament and Gorshade 3. Dr. Tran and Mr. Stuart were there. Why don't you discuss how you felt about the game and if
cheater.
There was anything.
So this is Adam right cheater. Off the bat. Yeah. I'd like to point out I blatantly cheated in the game.
Yes.
That is the first time I've ever actually gotten a machine wraith to last till my turn. And it showed. I allocated focus. It was not part of my battle group. I allocated focus to it, trying to do tons of damage. It didn't end up doing a lot. It did 5 damage, but yeah. You can't allocate focus to a jack if you machine wraith it. So, whoops.
But didn't you still have like a couple of...
Yeah, if I can't allocate focus to it, it was still... Testament was in charge range of my caster. Mm-hmm. I still had pistol wraiths and black banes and a soul hunter.
And you did 5 coming. Damage to him with the...
Yeah, the jack the only reckoner. Did 5 okay. damage, so it wasn't... Huge deal, but
it's only a reckoner.
Well, without the choir,
it's only reckoners a reckoner.
Are, yeah, without the choir, without focus, it's just an 8-point really good jack. Sorry.
But anyway, yeah, so don't do that. That was pretty much cheating.
But how did you actually feel like about the matchup, Dr. Tran?
I forgive you.
Even when I lost the book, I looked at the board, and when he popped the feet, I still felt okay. Mm-hmm. Once I had to kill Blackbane, which was the big thing... Blackbane, and then eventually Tartarus got rid of all of his removed from play. I still felt pretty good about the matchup. I didn't feel like I was still, you know, in a bad shape.
It looked like he's starting to turn it around because eventually, like the turn right before he assassinated you, it looked like there was more of your models than his models on the board.
Right.
Or at least it felt that way because you probably had larger models.
During that turn, I could have actually just gone over and tried to kill all the Cav, and then me missing Dera Wraith. Kind of actually sucked, actually.
Yeah, it hurt a lot, because you would have had a couple more swings on my caster with...
Isn't it Draga?
Yeah, I was calling it Dera Wraith.
It's double R, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So
let's just be right about this.
But yeah, I popped my feet that turn. It took me so long to kill the book. I ran out of time. On that turn, I was really going to go for a spell assassination. Got flustered on the time.
I've seen the clock was both of your greatest enemy in that game.
It was both of your Black Banes.
Right.
But I feed it and caught most of his army, so it gives me a chance to attrition a little bit and grind him down. Let's Tartarus hopefully remove a bunch of stuff from play. Let some Black Banes remove from play. The goal was just try to deny as much as possible and go up on the War of Attrition. I did actually want to go for an assassination with spell Siphon Bolts. And I positioned my models absolutely terribly and didn't think I'd have the 8 inches to hit a stationary caster with a bunch of siphon bolts.
Did you need something to measure that?
Do what?
What?
Troy, actually got a question.
I have a template for What's that.
Up? I actually got a question. For 8 inches? Troy, knowing that you have to basically pre-deploy the vessel,
right.
I'm curious why you didn't put it more centralized with both having the Black Banes and the Bane Knights. Potentially,
the soul hunters,
our soul hunters, not knowing where they were going to be put.
I always put it where there's a forest, because it just doesn't get in the waves because it has Pathfinder. So at least that part of the board, I don't have to worry about it because that thing can still move around.
Well, keep in mind also wherever he puts it, I've got the Bane thralls. They're going to kind of head towards it anyway with stealth, right. And I have occultation. He doesn't have a lot of shooting, so I'll just occultate whatever's close to the stupid thing.
Well. This time you actually
I learned after the last time Troy and I played that he will take out all of the Black Banes if I don't stealth them.
Okay.
So he specifically occultated them so I couldn't kill Blackbane because that was pretty much...
I was trying to deny him as many shots as I could with that thing.
Okay, because that's what I was looking at. I was like, I would have... To me, because I didn't know you guys had already played a matchup similar to this and seen your previous mistakes, but that was what I was looking at.
The last time we played, I had a lot more cap. I had the Bane Riders in my list, so it was a lot faster to activate, and it kind of... That shows. It's one of the reasons I like the Bane Riders in that list. But yeah, we had played before, and the Vessel of Judgment just did dirty things to my army the last time we played, because I wasn't thinking about it, and it's just going to shoot all my Black Banes off the table.
Gotcha.
And it seemed like it was a really good game. I mean, the thing that you guys didn't know is that you were also fastly approaching dice down.
I was pretty sure that y'all were timing it and would run in there and dice down.
Yep, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yep,
we were all over that.
I actually didn't think about it.
We were really enthralled in your game.
Fully engaged. Start to finish.
All we could talk about was your game. So yeah, it was very, it was good.
Dirty liars, all of you.
So, moving on, we're going to introduce a new segment to the podcast, which we will... a new segment. Dr. Tran's here for a new segment, which we will call it Enter the War Room. Not sponsored by War Room.
No, it is sponsored by War Room and Tinker House Games. Thank you very much.
Which is going to be our equivalent of a dojo section.
If Tinker House Games emails us or calls us, just tell them to get back to work.
They did once.
Get back to work.
Once.
I want...
So
correct Horgul's points.
So Clint
and my scattergunner UA to actually be 2 points instead of 0 points.
So Clint, you have something you've been working on recently.
I do have something I've been working on recently. So I decided to say what the heck and play a little bit with Jarl.
Jarl in the ongoing anti-Crick's quest.
Yeah, anti-Crick's quest. And whenever I play somewhere else other than in this city, you don't run into as much Crix. So Jarl has to do a little bit. You know, Pegrim, I think, is just for Crix, in my mind, the way I play him. And I'm sure other people play him other ways. But so I wanted to try out Jarl, so I've been trying him out for the last month. The originalist I've been playing with I've been having so much dang fun with him. He is a blast caster. A blaster caster. Master? Blaster?
Evidently, two pistols with magic bullet lets you kill a bunch of things.
It's so much fun. Does.
Well, I was really impressed, and I know with our game you kind of helped me understand. The Black Penny is...
Yeah, Black Penny is awesome.
An incredible way to swing attrition. It's a little difficult to get line of sight sometimes because a lot of trolls are medium-based models, but you kind of do what trolls do. You jam your guys in there, and then Black Penny shots with magic bullet allows Jarl to just pick up 4 models a turn and really swing that attrition into his favor.
It seems like something that Trolls has to reach for, which is that support removal or solo sniping and stuff like that. Just like, oh, Gorman's 4 next to something within 4 inches. Boom, I just killed him.
Well, yeah, the reason why I wanted to play Jarl so much is he's got 2 things that Trolls don't normally have, which is 1, support removal, and also the Alpha Strike. He's got Quicken, which when you put Quicken on something... It's very possible it's going to get there before the other guys are going to get there. So basically, my list was this is kind of a dojo session, if you will. So we're just going to kind of talk over the list that I have, and I have some other changes I want to make to it, and see what do you guys think about those. I played Jarl against recently. I played it against P. Lilith, which is the list you're going to see next week on the video. I played it against Kara Sloan, played by a pirate captain, and I played it against Rask tier four with all the bog trogs,
which no one has ever seen before.
Which is, oh man, that's a really cool list too.
Bog Liberation Front.
Yes. That was the
Evolution Force.
Yeah, the Fish Force.
That's where I'm going.
That was a lot of fun, and I really like that list too. It's just super fun to play against and play with. I'm sure
when you play against the Rask tier, you just gotta eat fish sticks in front of them.
Yeah, you like fish sticks. You like fish sticks, Mehu?
I'm not going to go. I know.
Why aren't you talking to the mic?
Don't look at me. Look at your microphone. You like fish sticks? Get closer to that microphone and tell me if you like fish sticks.
Go on with your legs.
Okay, so, sorry. So, Jarl, Rune Bearer, because it's a troll caster. Storm Troll, Troll Impaler, that's Impaler, that's the battle group. So, Impaler, snipes Jarl or snipes the Storm Troll. Or whatever. The cool thing about this list is there's a lot of don't have to hit damage you know, with the Storm Troll, with his Animus, but most of all with his gun. Jarl, you don't have to hit with the magic bullet. It's an auto hit. If you can land the actual hit on whatever you're shooting with. The units that I have are the Bogtrog Ambushers to come in from the side. It's a minimum unit. These guys are actually questioning whether to use, and so I've made a second list without them in it. And of course, this is basically troll minions. So you got the Gatorman Posse. You've got a Gatorman Witch Doctor with them. Leading the front is Gregor Boomhauer and Company, and they're great because you can put Quicken on them, so you can give them a little bit more defense against shooting, or you can give them Tactical Supremacy, which makes them. It's if you put Tactical Supremacy on them and they run first turn, it's a 1 inch less than putting Quicken on them. So if you want to put Quicken somewhere else, it's not that big of a deal. And then Long Riders, minimum unit of Long Riders. Horthal's in the list. The Totem Hunter and a Throg. Throg just a. He was originally in there for upkeep removal, that kind of thing, just in case I play against Pete Denny and, hope to have some kind of chance against it. He is turned into a bullet catcher. It was really cool to play against the Bogtrog.
Yeah, that was really annoying.
The Rask list. He put two Croak Hunters up in my face and. Throg just ran and said, "Here, shoot me in the butt." And,
on the top of one.
Top of one.
The Croaks in that list, they AD, and then they get an advanced move. So they're pretty much in the middle of the table.
That was fun. Did zero damage to Throg with Jarl, which was nice. I just rolled really low.
The Throg actually has pretty decent defensive stats. It's like armor 16 with something like
He's 13-16 with 8 boxes.
With 8 boxes.
He's only defense 11 in the butt, which is that's the key.
Right, and it's one of those types of models that you really want to like because, there's 3 points, but there's certain situations where he just really, really makes people mad. I want him to, run up and look at Druids and go, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, that's always nice. I haven't really gotten to use him to full effect yet. He's basically been just run up and engage something.
I think that's his problem. He's like
a throwaway.
He's the Horde's version of Epic Eris, but he's not even close. I know he's not even close. If he had a gun, he would be Eris. But
yeah, he would.
Well, another thing I really like about the list is the Boomhowlers, which I know it always sucks that only one tier list actually makes them faction because they really do a lot. So but that 4-up tough, I know with Black Penny we talked, you don't have a whole lot of ranked attacks, but that Call of Defiance is you're going to see more tough rolls, which is actually going to start opening fire lanes for Jarl to do his work right through them.
Well, the really cool thing, I think the best use of Black Penny seems to have been shooting your engaged Boomhauler guys in the back, which, if they're engaged... if you have Quicken on them, which hopefully you won't when you're trying to do this, but they're defense 18, right, and shooting. But with Black Penny, they're only 14.
That's so, with Quicken, yeah.
Yeah, that's with Quicken.
And the back attack would drop that again to a 12.
Yeah, so you're back down to a 12. So you're needing fives to hit or threes if you're aiming. So it's really, really important for Jarl to aim because he cannot use all that. He cannot use all that fury that he's got.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the thing that I really love about Jarl is people have to really pay attention, especially with support pieces. I played him against Jeff and told Jeff, I said the words, I'm casting Magic Bullet. Jeff said, okay. I shoot a Reckoner, do 2 or 3 damage to the Reckoner, and then I kill a Vassal. And Jeff's like, wait, what, you did what? And... I mean, people aren't prepared for that, and especially in-game.
Well, Jeff isn't prepared for
no.
it.
Well,
just kidding.
But just using that game as an example, I killed 2 Vassals and 4 Choir just by magic bulleting off of stuff. I'm popping stuff that's defense 10, so I need to roll a 3 to hit and killing the stuff that's actually making that stuff really viable. So that made Jeff completely change his game plan about where he can put his Choir, where he can put his Vassals.
And the function of Magic Bullet is that you can't ignore it. You can't shield guard against it. Even if you're immune to being targeted by spells, you can still get hit by it because it doesn't target you, as far as I'm aware, right?
No, it doesn't.
Nope. It just
says model within 4 inches takes a power 12 hit.
Yeah, it's a pure Signar rule in that way.
It kills Necrosurgeons dead, and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
With the Rune Bear and Harmonious Exaltation, you're casting it twice.
Yeah, for 3 Fury.
No worries whatsoever.
The thing that has been impressing me with the list so far is its ability to attrition. You have the 4+ tough boom howlers, you have the access to impact attacks and storm troll animus, and you have gators. And you have a witch doctor that can either make things fearless when you need to, or do what it can to try and deny Exgarnate.
Yeah, sack strike a gator and do no damage to... Who was that I did that to?
I think it was the...
Was it the Bokor?
The Bokor, the Swamp Shambler Bokor.
Try to kill the... Yeah, zero damage.
We got 20 Shamblers on the table.
I had to get him dead, and that was a full health gator, too. That kind of sucked.
So is the modification to the list is maybe dropping the Bog Trog?
This is the modification to the list. I was playing around with it, and basically Let me look at the old one. Nope, there's the new one. Okay, so the new one, what I did was I thought, okay, Bog Trogs, not super important. When you only have a minimum unit of them, you know, they're there and they push people towards the middle, but I don't think you really want... I mean, it's not a necessity to push everybody towards the middle. It's not like I'm throwing a bunch of AoEs out there or something like that. It's nice to keep them a little closer because of Magic Bullet and stuff like that, but... I thought of dropping him. Dropping the ambushers. Also dropping the long riders and Horthal, because Quicken's going to give you the speed you need already. So I was like, okay, so what's close to hitting power of the long riders but cheaper and close to the same speed? And I immediately thought of Sons of Bright, because they're speed 6 base. You give them Quicken, they're speed 8. Speed 8 is pretty good. Also, on the last game against Carter, I was like, man, I really, really would love to have a spray right now. Sons of Brad gives you a spray. It's a rat 8 spray. If you fervor, it's a rat 8 spray.
Yeah,
so I think they don't hit as hard and they're not as fast, but they're also a lot cheaper than Horthal and Long Riders. I think they are better, or really close to being better than a minimum unit of long riders, and you have to add Horthal in there to make those minimum unit of long riders decent with, you know, line breaker and all that stuff and follow up. So I figured I'm going to try it with Sons of Brag. I needed extra points because the ambushers are 5 and the Sons of Brag are 6. So I took out the long riders and Horthal, and that gave me 11 points to play with. When you think about 11 points, there's not a ton in trolls to play with. So I just thought about, well, what else do I need?
So you put rock in there, right?
No.
Oh.
If I would have had like
he
3 axes.
Want a rock.
No, rock's going with Borka too. I thought, you know what would be really nice is to have another war beast. So one of the best medium or light war beasts is a slag troll. So I threw a slag troll in there. So I have 5 points left. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, so... You know, 5 points. What can I put in there for 5 points? Another war beast. I think 4 war beasts is too much for Jarl to handle. So, boom, I saw scouts. And I just bought scouts for super cheap. And, you know, I'm thinking scouts are actually pretty decent because...
Redemption!
Yeah.
I actually talked to you about this like a month ago.
I believe you.
Another pirate captain-ism.
So, okay, first of all, anything with advanced deploy, unless it's Deathjack, is awesome. Okay, it's a negative on Deathjack. They have Pathfinder, they have Tough. They have 2 attacks, basically, on the charge, because they assault and blah, 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 blah. Prowl is actually pretty good, too.
A guy that throws out 4-inch clouds, yeah. 1 cloud can prowl that whole unit if you really want
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Yes, on the feet turn, I've been just throwing out clouds just in front, like a big... You know, rainbow in front of my army. But someone, I was talking to Carter in the game, and he's like, why don't you just throw a big cloud right in front of Jarl? Then I couldn't do anything. I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. They can go anywhere I want, not just in a big dumb circle like I always thought. So you can put those on right on top of the scouts, and you know, quicken scouts are speed 8, which is pretty darn far to throw some axes at people. Gang is always good. I just think that's the ad. So instead of the Long Riders and the and Horthal and the Bog Chog Ambushers, the list is all that stuff minus what I took out, plus Scouts, Sons of Brag, and a Slag Troll.
Thinking about it, you said you had 5 points left.
Yeah.
I do really like, and I think it's worth testing out the Scout package. But 5 points might also get you a stone and run the Slag Troll on Horgul.
Now go ahead, say it. You can say it.
Yes.
Module.
That's possible. That is possible.
I don't know if the stone is with the Jarl, though. Honestly,
it's not necessarily for the armor. If you're considering it as a Krixdrop,
if it's your Krixdrop,
yeah, denying incorporeal
takes away incorporeal because you don't have Mark for Death. Right?
It could plus one damage never hurts.
That's true.
Immunity to fire and corrosion never hurts.
I mean, it is possible to take the Sons of Brag out and get all that.
It strikes me that Jarl's going to be a bit more spread out than your typical troll list.
He doesn't use it for the armor. That's the only thing, is that the armor buff does not affect anybody but your caster.
Yeah. I know, but even if you're doing the incorporeal thing, you've still got to keep your... Like, if you've got your... Whatchamacallit, your boom howlers way up front, you know, and they're trying to reverse jam Satixis or something like that, you know, you've got to keep your stone that far forward to make that aura actually. You're going to have to take a full stone. You're going to have to dump a bunch of fury into it to get the full aura.
I think if I had more actual trolls in this list, I would put the stone in, but I think there's just not enough.
My only concern is things like the Gorshade 3 assassination.
Yeah.
Ways that you can just put, like, having the Cav just run through your lines. I mean, you still have a lot of staying power with that list, which is the thing I really like about it and why I think you're on a right track with it. I'm just looking at, if this is your Krix drop, is there something that Krix does that you're potentially weak at?
Well, I think, hopefully, Magic Bullet will get me through enough of it. I hope Magic Bullet will get me to a closer 50-50 than what it was before. I think the stone gets me up there, but I think the stone really limits me on every other matchup. I think it's just dead points.
Yeah.
If maybe the boom howlers could be affected by it, then maybe. But it's not enough. It's not enough to just ignore stealth and incorporeal. Even though every Krix player takes Gorshade 3 now.
And I don't know what Hornswoggle adds either.
The thought that I'm having with Hornswoggle is if you're going to include this Horgul,
Iron Strike.
Yeah, I decided that you can't have both a Horthal and a Horgul.
Yeah, that was bad.
Army.
That's just right out.
Hornswoggle.
Fair enough.
So the thing I'm thinking about is if you're going to include a Slag Troll anyway, having a hotshot at Slag Troll for 2 points is very nice, especially if you're worrying about the armor aspect of it.
It definitely does help against the War Machine matchup. The other list that I pair with this will usually go against every other matchup.
And my thought is
every other War Machine matchup.
Horgul in Push Comes to Shove is also another combat solo that can like boost damage and stuff for the
armor. True. I mean, he's very solid.
He's only there just to hotshot him. I mean, there's not a ton of Animi targets. There's Sons of Brag. That's basically it. And the scouts,
still a phenomenal unit to see a damage buff, the Sons of Horgul.
That's true. I mean, it bumps them up to, with Fervor, bumps them up to POW 14 for Rathar and 12. Then these are all Weapon Master.
No, nobody knows who their names are.
The Reach guy gets up to 14, and the other guys get up to 12.
My only concern...
14. Wow, 16 and 14. That's pretty good.
My only concern in watching the games that you've played so far, you've run very hot on your beasts, and with Jarl was already struggling to get that fury, so if you add another beast...
I only had to do one threshold check in each game. And that's because I was going with... Well, I felt like they had to do more work. The cool thing is that Slag Troll is very, very fury inefficient, I think, because of how much damage he can do versus non-living things.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's a pirate captain spoiled me that slag trolls are really impressive when they have a boost on either the hit or the damage roll.
Oh.
That's true.
What do you get a boost on the
guys, I'm sorry.
Attack roll?
What were we talking about again?
Gunbjorn.
Oh, okay.
Gunbjorn, yeah, you can drop out of this one.
We just need to play that guy and get it over with.
No, no. I disagree. I think the legend needs to continue.
It's called edging.
You know, and when it's being played, I'm going to play against him. I'm going to put him in the dirt on like round two or three. And just end this guy.
Are you willing to accept that bullshit talking, Mr. Bailey?
What happens, Carter, if you get turned to assassinated? You're going to get turned to stationaried.
I
and
will
then assassinated.
For more Dark Age.
Exactly. He said he will never accept.
Yeah, this turns into an Infinity podcast. Okay, so what do you guys think? Sons of Bragg or Long Riders?
I say try Sons of Bragg, honestly.
Try it.
I agree with you.
I like having speed 8 Sons of Bragg when I need it. Because I think
you don't have the Sun, you wouldn't have the Sons of Bragg in your other drop.
True. Would not have Sons of Bragg.
So way too long. I say try Sons of Bragg. I wouldn't put Hornswoggle in quite yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I don't think I'm up for Horgul yet, but...
Well, let's move on to our upcoming matchup.
Sounds good. And you will see this list, hopefully, on the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes.
Being played, because it's almost painted.
All right, so for today's matchup...
That's all that matters.
For today's matchup, we're going to do Mr. Stewart's Charge of the Horse Lords Vlad 3 tier list versus Making Babies. And that's all I'm going to call it until we actually get to the list itself.
All right, so
this is a Enter the Crucible exclusive
list.
Okay, this is
no
Making
one
Babies.
Anywhere ever has combined these models.
It's trademarked. And
wasn't
if you
Meat Mountain exclusive if, until you did.
No. We're not going into that. No.
It's okay when we.
I have no evidence.
I'm sorry. What is the matchup today?
Making babies.
Versus horses.
Okay.
Horses versus
all
babies.
Horses.
So this is the...
Horses trampling babies.
We're going to Tijuana today.
all right, so I'm playing Vlad 3, Charge of the Horse Lords, Tier 4.
Yeah, well, why don't you explain
the basic
Vlad
idea is you bring all the cavalry.
He did not need your prompting.
Yeah. That is, you bring all the cavalry. His tier lets increase his field allowance.
This podcast is way more fun than the last one.
So we get to spend tons and tons of money to buy extra cavalry.
Yes.
So my basic list will be Vlad 3 and Drago, because Drago likes Vlad, and he's super cheap. And then I'm running 2 units of Iron Fang Ulans, 1 full unit of Grey Lord Outriders, and then I'm also running Markov, Fenris, and 2 Man of War Dracoons.
Is anything in your list not a large base or a cavalry model besides Drago?
Fenris, when he gets dismounted, is a small based model.
Doesn't count. And if he comes to the table with four legs, he's fine.
Yes, he comes to the table with 4 legs. So my deployment is 21
large.
Doesn't
he come to the table
model
with 6 legs, basically?
I usually come with 3.
Your 25% Japanese is telling me that that's not true.
But that is
common.
It's a super fast list.
Just to the ankles.
On turn 1, the slowest thing in my army is speed 8. Drago's speed 8 on turn 1, basically.
What's your shoe size again, Carter?
And the Grey Lords are speed 10. So it goes very, very, very fast.
Yeah, it's
the same as Ian, so it's okay.
It's most definitely...
He's totally short-circuiting this podcast. Good work.
I'm done.
It's most definitely an interesting list because it is very fast, but it's not incredibly hard-hitting. I mean, it looks hella fun to play, though.
Did you just say hella fun?
Yes. I ain't no holla back girl.
My God. And that's the last you'll hear of me. We're going to murder him now.
Your army looks very impressive.
I must say that was a good comeback.
However, thank you. Yeah, the list
painted by Craig Russell.
Alpha Strike. It's not so good at long, grindy attrition games. Vlad himself can get a lot of work done with ride by attack, flash and blade. He can make attacks all over the board. Ulan's basically at one good, I'm going to charge, I'm going to mess something up.
He has the most explosive, like, personal feat turn, like, one of the most explosive personal feat turns, where he can ride by, sidestep off your initials, flashing blade the whole time, flashing blade before you start your ride by, sidestep, flashing blade on the end of your ride by. He can clear a section by himself.
Yeah, he's like Butcher 3 a little bit in that respect. He doesn't have quite the damage output that Butcher does, mm-hmm. but he's very non-linear in his threat. He can wander around and kill models all over the place. Lots and lots of fun to play. I've really been enjoying the games I've played with him so far. But it's very fairly straightforward. I mean, it's all of the horses. It's 20 Cav models and Drago.
All right, so let's get to Mike's list, which is we nicknamed Making Babies.
We have to start with Pirate Captain, this one.
Yeah.
He's going to set the stage, tell the story of how this list started.
The Dojo Master Pirate Captain.
I think I get a little bit too much credit because I'm obnoxious and talk too much about stupid lists. But this started actually because of our podcast and exploring the space, which I love to do. So
please explain how this came about.
I finished my War Room collection, which I didn't have, for the podcast. And I think Mike made a comment like, I don't know how people are exploring the space, but Legion, which I took as a personal challenge. So I started looking at Legion, which I am surprised how much I actually enjoy that faction. And a couple days later, I went to Mehu, and I was like, you know, I didn't expect it, but I think one of my favorite warlocks in the faction is Prime Lilith. And he talked to me, he's like, you know, I've always wanted to see an Archangel with Prime Lilith. She has Parasite. I think we both talked about the Black Frost Shard and having harm, so you're seeing a 5-point damage swing.
The old Crix plus 5.
So I put the Archangel on the table, and I immediately realized...
Mike, what other faction do you play?
Yeah, exactly.
It was right at home. It felt so good.
I am not responsible enough to handle an Archangel. I saw the potential of that, but one of the things that I started to explore with Prime Lilith is throwing out a bunch of incubi, taking the incubi, also taking afflictors, and just seeing how much work incubi can do under that. I will even say that you have the potential to get more work out of incubi with her than you're going to see with anyone else. They're mat 7 to begin with. They have 2 melee attacks. The actual rules of them being placed during the maintenance phase means that it's very easy to line them up to get the charge attack you want or to position them to actually get 2 attacks on units. Mat 7 means they're pretty accurate. Her feet,
they always alpha.
Their charge with combo strikes, power 14. That can go up to 19, and you can just start picking things up off the table for what's effectively a 1-point model.
And it's the thing that... started really annoyed me when you pointed it out is this is all of the effects that Legion has to swing attrition by creating models. It is the pot that creates lessers. It is the afflictors who create incubi, and then additional incubi that you just can't stop. There's no way to, outside of remove from play effects, there's no way to really stop getting hit by them.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about the last game, and we kind of talked about remove from play, and the only reason I knew this rule and brought it up, and I double-checked that, there are instances where you can be removed from play and still generate soul or corpse tokens. It is when you are both destroyed and removed from play. I knew this because I was like, I could have sworn, you know, in the last session we had, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I checked this. Incubi are that example.
Right.
When a model dies and you are using it to place an incubi token, that model is removed from play when it is destroyed. It's still triggering destroy effects, which means that body goes into the pot, the spawning vessel, getting a corpse token. And what's great is when the incubi dies, that is also another body for the spawning vessel. But really love what Mike did.
Okay. Go ahead. No, I was... They're soulless, right? So they don't generate a soul, but they do create a corpse.
I loved one. Mike does much better with the Archangel, and I love your addition of the Hex Hunters.
Yeah,
I think that's brilliant. And looking at it, that is another unit where Lilith has the potential to get more work out of Hex Hunters than B'thane does.
Oh, on this week's Clint's Caster Corner. Do not spawn whelps against this list. You are giving them incubi.
But when you look at Hex Hunters, they are battle wizards. So B'thane's feat is going to boost their magic attack and magic damage rolls. Lilith has the potential to boost their melee attack and magic attack rolls, and giving a potential plus 5 damage swing. So you're seeing just tons of work. But I'm going to pitch it over to Mike.
The plus 5 comes from... Yeah, it comes harm from the Black Frost Shard and Pilith's parasite.
Yeah. So, run us through the rest real quick.
Right. I just remember if we didn't talk about it.
Starting off with Pilith, she's essentially the battle box caster for Legion. Kind of key abilities from her. Her feat is the additional die on all attack rolls, so that's the range attack, melee attack, and the magic attack. Only got three spells on her spell card. Bad Blood, which won't be too useful today, but... has found uses before.
Did you bring Bronin Luck in your list?
Only brings one beast.
If you're a Hordes caster, bring multiple beasts. At least two, so you don't instantly get caught by Bad Blood one time.
Yeah, Bad Blood and then Feet and then Archangel shooting will end a lot of casters where they were expecting to have transfers. Mm-hmm. Parasite, which is kind of a key component of this list, and then Eruption of Spines. So have some ability to do some infantry clearing, and then... key thing with Lilith is she's only Fury 5, but if she hits something with her bow, she can basically cast spells at it, ignoring range and hitting essentially for free. So stick something with the bow, cast Parasite, and then you can bushwhack away because she has that as well.
Rat 7?
Rat 7.
Okay.
So in the list is a Shredder, the Archangel, and two Afflictors is the battle group. The other things in the list, one Shepherd for Fury Management, five Incubi, a Blightedness Sorceress on a Hellion, full unit of Hex Hunters, full Spawning Vessel, and the Black Frost Shard. So essentially what you're trying to do here is, or the way I use it, is using the Sorceress and Hellion to kind of help deliver the Hex Hunters, get them up the field. Try and play everything a little bit centrally, keep the pot protected, and then just use everything as you're going forward to just continuously fill the pot, generate lessers, spawn incubi out of the Hex Hunters, and then use Lilith to swing armor with the Black Frost Shard and just grind your opponent down.
Yeah, it's also a fully boosted spray from on the feat turn from the Sorceress on Hellion, which is...
Well, it's not on the damage. I mean, it's... The Sorceress on Hellion... has that range 8, POW 12 cold spray.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious. The Sorceress in the Hellion is the only one that I don't really understand why it's in your list.
Right.
I mean, the theme of the list seems to be spawning vessels. Is there a reason that it's in there other than you happen to have it? Or
the theme of the list is making babies.
Correct. Well, you could fit another pot in here.
Shredders are not babies.
The pot's FA1.
They're dogs.
You have
puppies.
Never
mind. It's not making puppies.
Thank God the pot's babies. FA1.
Except in that Thagrosh list that I'm building. That's a story for another day.
Yeah.
It's like 33 points. Yay. Right.
So... A couple interactions with why I like the Sorceress in a Hellion. If you are charging flying war beasts that originate in her command range, they charge for free. So being a Fury 5 warlock, you're looking for efficiency. And so that's one way to get efficiency is free charges. Lilith can also do that. She's got the blood lure on her bow. So if you are charging whatever she shot, it's free also. So it's in there for focus efficiency. Hex Hunters are stealthy naturally, so you have to get close to shoot them if you're going to shoot them. The ability of the Sorceress and Hellion to say no ranged attacks originating from within her command is annoying. I'm also trying to play this with Veil 2, put Occultation on this thing, and then just run it up and say no shooting.
Yeah, it's real. I've seen it before. It's really, really annoying.
Yeah, just put Tenacity on it, make it 15, 17, 10 boxes, can't shoot it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
It's not range reducing at all.
No. So the whole idea is essentially just spawn incubi, move the pot forward, use the Archangel to clear everything, but keep it protected. It's it's a gun platform in this list for sure.
Yeah, with the ride by attacks, and the nice thing about it is you have the old Crix plus 5, so its shooting is really strong in certain situations.
Yeah, you can really. Turn up the offense on it. Obviously Lilith doesn't do anything for it defensively other than basically, a lot of turns Lilith is just going to be a tenacity fairy. Mm-hmm. And, kind of keep protected.
The thing I like about the inclusion of the Archangel on this list outside of, normal beast loadouts like two Ravagor or something like that.
Sure.
Is it is a huge, can't be knocked down huge model that can protect Lilith.
Yeah.
It also punches decently hard by itself, and you have again the old Crix plus 5. So,
yeah,
it's really hard to armor skew against this particular list.
Yeah, definitely. I think it does a good job, and this comes from getting my face pounded in by the miserable Beat Mountain a few times.
Trix does not really like this list.
No,
which is Jeff's dog.
Jeff's dog. Yeah,
which is fair.
Right. Well, yeah. Outside of Pirate Captain and myself, I don't think anybody likes this list right now. But we'll see what happens.
It's the combination of several things we're playing around with, and you just brought it.
Copyright.
All
Enter the
and
Crucible.
Made us all mad with it.
2014.
We'll see. I still got to spend a little more practice. I've got maybe not quite 10 games under my belt with it, and would like to take it out to a tournament as if and when I get a chance.
Fair enough. So, if anybody else has anything for this podcast, thank you for listening to...
Can we just start over and do it all again?
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 9 of...
Riphorn's looking good.
I'm Clint.
Riphorn's looking...
I'm almost done building my 20th base.
Pirate Captain.
Stuart.
Mac.
What are you doing?
I'm introducing everybody again. We're starting over.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Dr. Tran.
Thank you for listening to episode 9. Please join us again next week for the video.
Stop tapping the mic.
And stop tapping the mic.
It's like I'm podcasting with 4-year-old.